Good afternoon, Saints. This is Chloe DiPilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. It's late in the afternoon, almost time to get dinner started, but I do want to just give a little exhortation. I don't feel really prepared to give much more than that, so let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness, and your grace towards your people and toward me especially. Father, I ask that you would just let me speak clearly with a prophetic unction this day, Lord Jesus. I depend on you, and I thank you that I can depend on you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to read a portion of scripture that is on my heart. There's actually just one or two verses that I really want to focus in on, but it's just a short paragraph according to my paragraph symbols in the Bible. So I'm going to go ahead and read the whole six or seven verses. What is one, two, three? I think it's like eight verses. So we're reading from the book of Jude, and my little emboldened caption over this portion says, "Hold to the true faith." And we'll start with verse 16 and go on down to 23. "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved," and this is a key verse, "but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And anybody who knows me knows I love to refer to verses 22 and 23 as I see it as a reason to be well-rounded in your gospel presentation of how you deliver the gospel message. Some need to, some will respond in loving words and compassionate phrases and things that are soft and gentle and sweet, and others you have to just pull them out of the fire. You got to be firm with them and determined with them. Pull them out of the fire so as to save their soul. So, but anyway, going back to verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. I want to just talk about your most holy faith. You know, I can see somebody meet a brother after a church service, and we're greeting one another, and I go up and I slap him on the back and I say, "How's your faith doing, brother?" Well, you could take that as me meaning to say to him, "How's your confidence in the promises of God? Are you confident in the promises of God? Are you trusting the Lord? Do you have great faith, little faith, much faith? Where's your faith at?" And he would respond and he would tell me, "Oh, I've really been discouraged. Some things are going wrong and I just can't see my way clear." Or he might say, "Oh, I've had the best week. God has been so good and I'm trusting in his promises. I'm not really seeing anything yet, but I know the God I serve and I believe he's going to come through for me." And you'd be blessed. Okay. I might go into a grocery store. I'm in the produce section, and some woman catches my eye and gives me a friendly smile, and I smile back at her, and she strikes up a conversation. In the course of the conversation, I say to her, "Well, what's your faith?" And you would know that I'm talking about what are you believing as far as what's your body of teachings or religiously and. I know that that's almost like a bad word for a lot of people, but you know what I'm saying. I'm asking her, are you of the Methodist faith, or are you Pentecostal, or maybe perhaps you're not either one. Maybe you're something like, maybe you're from some Far Eastern religion, or maybe you're Roman Catholic. But when I say, what is your faith, not how is your faith, but what is your faith, you know I'm asking her to tell me what's her background or what's she standing on. Did she base her belief system on? What's her belief structure? And then I would know further how to proceed in my conversation with her. And it's coming home very real to me that the how is your faith will always be better, will always be stronger, will always be more powerful if the how is your faith is based on a good answer to what is your faith. What is your faith? And in this 20th verse, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on, not in, not through, not for, but on, which tells me we're talking about something you can rest on, something you can stand on, something you can, that's your solid foundation on your most holy faith. And we don't need to split hairs. I think everybody here knows that holy means holy. Holy doesn't mean system or a code of how you dress. Doesn't mean your hair length. Doesn't mean your skirt length. Doesn't mean the height of your collar. Doesn't mean whether your ankles or your wrists show. Holy means separation unto God. Separating ourselves from the world and separating unto God. And holy, to be holy, you need to be in his presence. You need to be spending time with him, because how else can you say you're separated unto God? And I just want to say, in this day and age, there's a lot of things I'm seeing that Christians have allowed that have nothing to do with the old Pentecostal to-do list of do's and don'ts, and you can do this, but you can't do that, and you can go here, but you can't go there. Those things, those decisions should be birthed of conviction of the Holy Spirit. If the Lord causes you to be uncomfortable, and I've shared this before, there was a time in my life when, being one raised in the Pentecostal tradition, we were for many years in one church that was very strict. There was a lot of things you didn't do, you couldn't do, you wouldn't do, you wouldn't dare do. Then we migrated to another Pentecostal church that was not very strict, and it got, some of the, we could actually wear a little bit of pink lipstick and not feel like we were going straight to hell. And maybe a bracelet. And we could even go swimming in a lake. We could go as the youth group, we could go swimming in a lake in mixed company. And then as time went on, went to another place which was a very Pentecostal church, a lot of life, the joy of the Lord was manifest, gifts were flowing. But in that atmosphere, the honest truth was the woman who spearheaded the church and who prayed that church into existence, she had a real revelation of being set free from legalistic bondage. And there was liberty. There was absolute liberty. And you knew that you were to do things in moderation, but there was not that heavy yoke around our necks, and we could enjoy life a little bit more. But the foundation, the firmer our foundation, the better, the more we're on a right foundation, the greater our faith or our confidence in God will be. So if I was to say, if I were to take this verse and I were to interpret it with faith being either my confidence in God level and how much I believe him, how much I'm convicted of the promises and convinced that his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, and how much I'm on the right foundation, or if I preach it as being build yourself up in your most holy faith, pay attention to those foundational teachings and things you taught. Make sure you're on a firm foundation. Make sure you have scriptures that talk about the first principles and Hebrews 6 that gives a list of those foundation stones we're to have in order in our lives, and how Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Or I think about how Jesus talked to his disciples and whoever was there. I think it was towards the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, when he talked about the foolish man and the wise man, and how the wise man built his house upon a rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and how it's important to dig down deep to get to the foundation. These things are all connected. They're all connected together. But what caught my eye really about this scripture, and I'm not staying online, I don't have my timer on to know. This may be a 5 or 10 minute exhortation. I have no idea because I have no timer, no way to time myself. But I look at that phrase, most holy faith, and I think about how sadly, and it goes with the whole context of this scripture, how there are faiths that are not most holy. They're most carnal. They feed the flesh. They feed our carnality. They make it easy to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They're all about cars and houses and lands. They're all about temporal things. They make it super easy to say, I can serve God and I can serve mammon too. And Jesus said, no, you can't do that. You're going to love them, cleave to one and leave the other, or hold fast to the one and shun the other. So, and it always comes to, you know, I don't think we ever get suddenly all 100% lost or out of faith or out of fellowship. It comes one decision, one little decision at a time, that we chip away at our good foundation and we find ourselves in a place where we're in an unsure place, an unsure footing, and we're not on that solid ground. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we're not on that pillar and ground of the truth anymore, but we're off somewhere. It's not God's house. It's not his church. And of course, I have to say this every single time. When we say the church, we're not just talking about a building, but we're talking about the coming together of God's people and of his saints, regardless of where it is, whether it's in a living room or a stadium. When God's people come together, it's the church. You're having church. Even if you're at a concert in a stadium and you're with God's true saints, you're in church. And anything can happen. If the Lord's allowed to do anything, if he's given liberty, if his spirit's allowed to move, anything can happen in any environment where two or three are gathered together in his name. But building ourselves up in the most holy faith. What is your faith? Is it a holy faith? Is it something that's causing you to want to shun the world, to shun what's described here in this passage of scripture? Go back and read it yourself. Does it cause you to want to shun complaining and walking after your own lust and bragging and having the applaud of men to get an advantage? Or is it a faith that's causing you to recall the word of God, to recall the promises of God in his book? That's verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like all these scriptures leading up to verse 20 are basically telling us how to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. I want a most holy faith. Most holy faith is what's going to garnish for me rewards in heaven. When I get to heaven and there's a great white throne judgment and rewards are given, and the deeds which were done in the body are commented upon by our Lord, I want to know that I was building myself up in a most holy faith, because that's the faith. Recently, I spoke a word on faith and increasing our faith, and I'm pretty sure in that little sermon that I spoke somewhat on these things. And as you can see, I'm struggling for my words. This is happening to me a lot lately, and I just ask you for prayer. I get on a train of thought and then I forget. But my most holy faith that I'm built on, part of that most holy faith is the truth that Jesus is a healer. And so I absolutely believe. I stop and pause and I thank the Lord for healing. And I thank the Lord that this brain fog is being dismissed in Jesus' name. I won't even try to go back and think about where I was going. But anyway, building ourselves up on the most holy faith. That's the pillar and ground of the truth. That's all the things that the apostles taught us. The sound words. There's another scripture that tells us to hold fast to the form of sound words. And to pay attention, especially to what God says. And this is so true for the day we're now living in, because it could be very easy to be discouraged. I have to confess, I've been so riveted to everything that's going on in the news that I haven't spent the time with the Lord or in his presence that I feel that I should, to be even doing what I'm doing. But it says, he says, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. And I guess this is Jude writing the epistle of Jude, unless it's Paul writing to the... No, it's from Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. He told us that in the last days there would be mockers who should walk after their own godly lust. These be they that separate themselves central, not having the Spirit. And if ever we were in a day of mockers, it's this day. You just watch the news and people are so after themselves. They don't care about the truth. They care about a personal agenda. All you have to do is watch a White House press briefing to see that it's just the mess has gone to seed. And if ever there was a time for God's people to be more in the place of prayer than anywhere else, praying for those who are in authority, praying for those who are in the government. And I'm just wanting to say I'm so proud of our president on his trip that he's currently on, and how he's conducted himself with such wisdom and such grace. And even the things, of course, that the people who want to tear him down are complaining about and just nipping at his heels, nipping at him. And every time you turn around, you see another headline that distorts things, distorts what's said either in congressional hearings or what the president did or said. I mean, could go on and on, because it's had my attention. And right now we're not building ourselves up in being knowledgeable of what's happening on the world scene or the congressional scene or the political scene or what's happening with terrorists. I'm here to encourage you to build yourself up on the most holy faith. Not the faith that buys cars and houses and lands, and not against those things. In fact, I even have those things. But the things in the Word of God that are going to assure us and ensure us a place in eternity, that we have a faith. You know, when we get into eternity, I actually believe that we're going to see people who believed God for great things on this earth in the carnal realm, who were well known for all the things they had and how they could just pray and get answers. If they needed a car, they wanted a different car, a better car. It was no time until they had one. They believed for big things. And They worked all the principles of faith for big things, for things. And when you see them in heaven and you see some little saint of God who nobody knew, who is just struggling, a little two-mite saint of God who just put her little bit in the offering, went on her way, and you see in eternity how she's got a mansion in glory, and she's got all sorts of blessings, and she's got gems in her crown, and she's got all the blessings of heaven at her disposal. And it's her reward, because she was building herself up in the most holy faith, not the most carnal faith, not the faith that got her all sorts of good stuff here on earth. Building myself up in the most holy faith. You building yourself up in the most holy faith? It's the faith that is foundational to the faith that is the confidence we have in God, that his promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you how to get your prayers answered super fast. When you're swimming upstream in prayer, that means you're praying for things that you're asking amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts. You're asking for things that are contrary to sound wisdom and sound doctrine. You're asking the Lord to do things that aren't necessarily pleasing to him. Lord, that boy across the street has mistreated my son. I'm so sick and tired of him. Lord, I pray that you just uproot that family and move them to a different city, because I'm sick of dealing with that spirit on that kid that's always so mean to my son. He won't include him in anything. He's just a mean kid, and I don't want him here. And I pray that, and I pray that, and I pray that. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Hoping to hear that this guy across the street got transferred to another city, took his family there, and they just got out of my hair. Okay. Then I decide, Lord, maybe that prayer's not right. Maybe that prayer doesn't please you. And I pray, Lord, you see what's going on in that family. You see why that child is so mean-spirited. Maybe his dad is so busy he doesn't have time to spend with him. Lord, I just ask you to give that father more time with his son. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that, Father, you would just cause whatever this animosity is to be quelled, Lord, and that you would replace it with your love and your peace, that we might live peacefully in this neighborhood. God perks right up his ears, and in no time, I see the difference. I see a sweetening of the spirits of all these kids in the neighborhood. They're playing nicely together. Why? Because the way I prayed is something that's so in accordance with the word of God. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So, I could go into personal things where I prayed the wrong way, saw nothing. I prayed the right way and couldn't believe how fast I started seeing God move. We're building ourselves up in the most holy faith. It's that belief system that the promises of God are true, the foundations are true. This is what I have founded my life on. The mercy, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, how Jesus would respond, how Jesus would act. Digging deep to get to the foundation, obeying the sayings of the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith is being built up when I'm on the right foundation. Your faith will not act contrary to the foundation, the right foundations. It will not. It just won't work as well. Your faith, if you make a concerted decision that you are going to build yourself up in the most holy faith, you're going to be known as a child of God. You're going to have a place in the kingdom. You're going to be useful on this earth to be a blessing, and you're going to also have a place in the kingdom. See, God is not against any of us having things. He's not against prosperity. In fact, he encourages it. God encourages prosperity. And I keep saying I'm going to talk about one of these weeks, and I am going to talk about that, where I see it in the Word. There's a godly prosperity. There's a carnal prosperity, and there's a godly prosperity. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Carnal prosperity always has a little pinch of sorrow in with it, a little pinch of greed, a little pinch of, well, we got to figure out how we can both serve both God and mammon, figure out how we can do it. I'm seeing some who have made the decision to try to wrap their godliness around their mammon, and they are stressed beyond belief. It's not working well for them. It's not, and they're coming to a place. They're at crossroads, and I speak this prophetically. I'm seeing people who have been serving both God and mammon coming to a crossroads where they're having to make a decision. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to serve God and build myself up in a most holy faith, or am I going to go down another road? Am I going to go down this road, continue down this road of serving mammon, where I have to figure it out, where I have to figure out how I'm going to keep this ministry afloat, keep things going? And you'll find when they're at that place, all sorts of spiritual stuff gets mentioned, but rarely does the name of Jesus get glorified. He's not at the preeminence. You'll find their plans, their programs, their good ideas are at the forefront. And Jesus is sort of, he's there, but he's kind of shoved in the background because he begins to become an inconvenience. When you're building yourself up in the most holy faith, Jesus never becomes a name that's an inconvenience to mention. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just want to, read, just to wrap this up, as I was speaking the scripture in the second epistle general of Peter, I want to read what's under the caption, "The Growth of True Knowledge." "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and gracious or precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature." That's where our most holy faith will take us. We're building, being built up. Think about a building. Think about an edifice being built up. And where is it that building going? "That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." It's what we were just talking about. There's a carnal faith. There's a faith that lusts. There's a faith that's always about me, 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 and things, and give me, give me, give me, and let's get all the scriptures that tell us all the things we can get and have. And that's the carnal faith. "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, but that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just now I'm thinking, I do need to get my dinner started, but just now I'm thinking how I want to go through these scriptures, because these are the building blocks, I feel, what's in this scripture right here. And I encourage you to go through those scriptures and all the things that God wants us to have as part of the warp and woof of who we are, of our character. And those are the building stones. If we were climbing up a rock mountain and they were labeled, it would say those things. Things like, let me see. Virtue, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Building ourselves up, those are the building blocks. As we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Lord Jesus, I thank you this day for your abundant mercy, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that you would help each and every one. And I feel even prophetically, Lord, that we are in a time. I mentioned my own condition myself in prayer. But Lord, as part of a prophetic people, I understand that many are being also hit, Lord, by things that would discourage them in their prayer life, in their waiting life, Lord, in their devotional life, because you, and even in faithfulness to church attendance, Lord, because the enemy realizes his time is short, and he is just wants to put us out, Lord. He wants to take us out of the game so he can do his evil work without being disrupted and distracted, because your people are disruptors to the kingdom of darkness. We are his worst nightmare, Lord, when we're on the top of our game. And Father, I just speak against the spirit of weariness coming upon the body of Christ. I speak against the lethargy. I speak against the lack of sharpness and the lack of clarity. And I speak that the word of the Lord is coming to your people, and the energy of God that comes from waiting on you will be our portion in this time. Father, in Jesus' name, and you see how I've even grieved in my spirit, Lord God, that even with these leaks that are going on in the government, Lord, and you know, Lord, that I've queried in my spirit, God. I've been concerned. How much am I to mention what's going on with the times? And how much am I to veer off a little bit to be concerned about the political atmosphere and the kingdoms of this world? And Father, I believe that it's as your spirit quickens me that I am to mention these things. And Father, I feel deeply concerned in my spirit that no prophet has yet spoken up that I'm aware of to pinpoint exactly where these leaks are coming from. And as a prophetic body, Lord, we should be the ones who should be calling this out. We should be able to say, here's your man that's a problem. Here's the woman that's a problem. And I haven't heard it. And maybe it's happening in secret. And I pray that it is, Lord. But Father, I just pray, God, that you would sharpen us, God. Restore our first love, God. Help us to strengthen the things that remain and are ready to die. God, your people came forth in such power and in such an exulting sense of victory and purpose. And when we prayed this president through to a clear victory, Lord, into the presidential office, and it's time to step up the game in prayer again. And Lord, for those who are not sleeping at night, I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who are not sleeping at night,
that the enemy is trying to wear them out and take them down and make them tired throughout the day, let them give him a black eye by getting up and praying, by walking the floors, by sitting in a chair, by prostrating before you on the carpet, Lord. Let them get before you and pray. Let them pray for the needs in their households. Let them pray for the needs of in the country. And let the devil see he is wasting his time. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we're building ourselves up in the most holy faith. I thank you for this word. Folks, this is what you call an attack. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to end here for a second. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is just shows the times we're living in. The enemy does not like for God's people to be on top of their game because he knows. He knows that when we are, it's big trouble for him. Now, can't leave without just praying. For those who don't know the Lord, I'm going to pray quickly because I really need to go cough and blow my nose. In Jesus' name, Father, for anyone who doesn't know you, lead them in a plain path today to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I may come back later and just give a little exhortation to shore up the evangelical side of this ministry. Love you all, and I thank you, my friends, who listen so patiently to my stilted way of ministry, but God is so good. Love you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.